We're doing Rav Chalap on Parshat Be'alotcha, and the topic is Richuk Bishvil Kiruv, distance for the sake of coming close. And it breaks down into two topics. Number one is Hashem's love of Israel is limitless, and number two is when Israel stumbles, it's because they're growing. Their stumbling stems from growth. So our parsha says Be'alotcha et anerot. Yesh Levin, Rav Chalap says we have to understand what was so difficult about making the menorah. Rashi brings the Medrash that it says the way Hashem commanded, Kein Asa et HaMenorah, that's how He made the menorah. So Rashi brings the Medrash, God made the menorah. Kein Asa, the way God commanded, that's how God ended up making the menorah. Moshe couldn't get it in then. And then we have to understand, it says, Vayas Kein Aaron. Aaron did the way Hashem commanded him to light the menorah. So that's a compliment to Aaron. He didn't change from what Hashem said. And why is that such a big deal? The Medrash says, does God need the light of the menorah? No. Hashem was teaching us that the Shekhinah is within Israel. So the idea of the menorah is to reveal to us Hashem's love of the Jewish people. Just as Birkat Kohanim is Ya'er Hashem Panav Eidecha, Yisa Hashem Panav Eidecha, the idea of Hashem shining His light to us, Ya'er Hashem Panav Eidecha, Ya'er will give light. So the menorah is that light. The menorah is to shed light, to reveal to us how much Hashem loves us. And the vessels of the temple, the vessels of the Mishkan, are revelation of how much Hashem loves the Jewish people. And I'm sorry, the other way around. The vessels of the Mishkan are a representation of our love to Hashem. Hashem tells them, you donated to the golden calf so willingly. You want to repent? Show me how you donate for me. So then we were given an opportunity to be excited and show our excitement over building a Beit HaMikdash. And here, everyone comes and donates to the Mishkan, and the Mishkan becomes a perpetual representation of the love of Israel to their Father in Heaven. Well, one thing in the Mishkan is the other way around. The menorah is a representation of Hashem's love for us. That's what Rashi brings the Medrash, La'arot chibatan shel Yisrael. The menorah shows the love of Israel, how much Hashem loves Israel. Rav Chalap says we've discussed previously that love in this world has to have a cause. We love because of something in this world. And even the love of Hashem stems from our recognition that He created the world, He gave form to things in the world. So we love Him because of how we perceive what He's done for us or what He's done in the world. But Hashem's love of Israel doesn't have a reason. We, from our perspective, need reasons. Why do I love? So I need an explanation. I need a cause. But Hashem doesn't have causes. Well, Hashem didn't need to create us. So Hashem creates us, and Hashem decrees that we exist, and Hashem also decrees that He loves us. That's a creation in its own right. Hashem created the concept of love, right? It's not because you're this, so I love you. No. Hashem created us in many ways and loved us based on His decision that this is the way the world should be. We're pious. What do we do for Him? Does He change because we're pious? And so Hashem's love of us is part of how Hashem wanted the world to be. He wanted a people called the people of Israel. And He decreed with the creation of the people of Israel, He also decreed that He loves us. And that's what the Navi says in Malachi. Ahavti etchem, amar Hashem. How does Malachi begin? The prophecy of Malachi, beginning, Ahavti etchem, amar Hashem. Declaration, I love you. No explanation. I love you. That's how the prophecy of Malachi begins. V'amartim v'ma'avtanu, v'ohavet Yaakov. The continuation of the prophecy is, I love Yaakov. And it doesn't matter how great our love is of the Ribon Shel Olam, it's never going to be like the Ribbono Shel Olam's love for us. Our love for him is always going to have parameters. His love for us has no parameters.
Well, he's an infinite being.
Okay. So man has to create a menorah. And the menorah is going to be a representation of Hashem's love for us. But we just said that Hashem's love for us is beyond limitations. It's beyond our comprehension. So then Moshe tries to figure out, how am I supposed to build a menorah that represents your love of Hashem, of Am Yisrael? He can't do it. And so that's what Moshe says. I can't build such a menorah. Hashem says, you're right, I have to build such a menorah. That's what the Gra writes, that Moshe couldn't attain a certain level of wisdom. And that's what Moshe asks the Ribbono Shel Olam, reveal to me, when he's on Mount Sinai, and he didn't get there. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech also says, that Amalti Echkama, I wanted to reach the wisdom that Moshe Rabbeinu could not reach, Vilchokami Meni, and it's far from me, I didn't even get as far as Moshe got. So Moshe wants to understand something in the essence of Hashem, and he can't get there. And so when Hashem says, I want you to build a menorah that represents my love of the people of Israel, Moshe says, I can't do that. Yes?
Then how did Bezalel get it? It's beyond Shlomo, it's beyond Moshe.
Rav Chalap is going with the Midrash that Hashem built the menorah, not Bezalel. Hashem's love of Israel doesn't change. It's limitless, and the love doesn't change. Ani Hashem lo shiniti. I don't change, Hashem says. We see changes in the revelation of it, but the love doesn't change. This, we'll digress for a second. This is the idea that we say, Ahavat olam avtanu. Your love of us is an eternal love. When a man marries a woman, he wants to declare, Ve'erastich li l'olam, I engage you forever. But everyone knows that deep down inside, he has no idea what he's going to feel like in a day, in a month, in a year. He likes to tell himself, he likes to tell her. He says, I'm committing because that's my anticipation, and I'm committing to that. And he signs a ksuba, and all that's beautiful. And that's the way it should be. But at the end of the day, no one knows.
Right. One comedian one time said, marriage should be like a life, should be like a driving license. Every five years, renew it.
Okay. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is a constant. You're not going to surprise him with everything, with anything. And it doesn't matter if we're worthy or not. The essence of the love is there. We said as Hashem created Israel, and as Hashem created the concept that he loves us. And when Am Yisrael is worthy, are we worthy of that love? No. We're worthy, that means in a spectrum of behavior, we're in the path that's correct. But we're still not worthy of the great love Hashem gives us. It's not that our love is our actions are the cause of Hashem's love of us. We didn't do anything that really merits that kind of love. And that's why that love is not affected, because that love is not contingent on action. This is an amazing concept if we think about it for a minute, because we'll take an example. When a parent punishes a child, does he love him more or less? So you have a parent that might love his kid less when he punishes him. And then you have a parent that loves him more. We have situations where my wife and I will discuss what we're going to do about this behavior or this action of a child. The easiest thing is to turn a blind eye. The easiest thing, let things flow, let's have a good time together, let's ignore it. You go with your kids to the park, the easiest thing is to let them have as much juice and soda as they want. If I don't care for them, so I'll be the easy parent. Go have a good time, go enjoy, do whatever you want. If I care for them, then I have to contend with the question of what's right for them. what's going to be best for them. That's much harder. When you love and you're willing to invest the effort and the thought and the fight with the kid. Abba, why can't I have it? We have a rule by us that on Yom Tiv, the kids have no limits on how much juice or coke they can drink. Yom Tiv is different than Shabbos. On Yom Tiv, that's part of what makes Yom Tiv special for them. No limits. They can drink as much as they want. Now we have kids that have allergic reactions, not allergic reactions that are dangerous, but they get hyper when they drink. Shavuos night, one of the kids comes over to me and they're standing there like this. Abba, can you pour me another cup of juice? I'm thinking, it's Yom Tov, so I'm supposed to say yes. And I tell the kid, don't you see your hands are all over? You're hyper. You shouldn't be drinking another cup of juice. I know it's Yom Tov, but... No, he was just like hyper, so his hands were all over. I said, no, it's not a good idea. Let's hold off for tomorrow morning. Enough for one night. It's not easy. If you want to take the easy route, sure, go have another cup and enjoy. Leave me alone. Now I have to deal with, but Abba, it's Yom Tov, but Abba, you said there are no limits. Okay. Yeah, so coming back to Rav Chalap is telling us a concept that's a tremendous perspective. Hashem's love of us doesn't change. So then you say, then why does Hashem punish us? So then why does Hashem destroy our temple, His temple? Take a step back. The precept, the basic concept is the love didn't change. So then the actions are not because Hashem hates us. They're not because Hashem's disappointed in us. They're because Hashem says, I love you. And that's the next step you have to take in light of your actions. Just like a parent who sees the child drank too much juice and he's going to say, because I love you, I'm going to say, no, you're not having another cup of juice. I'm sorry, it's not good for you. So Hashem says it's not good for you to continuously have a temple with this type of behavior, to continue in the land of Israel with this type of behavior. We are the child who doesn't always understand. Why are you doing this to me? This isn't what I want. I wanted something else in life. Just like when the kid came to me on Shavuos night and said, but Abba, I want more Jews. He sincerely wants more Jews. He does not see. I say to the child, don't you see you're jittery? You can't stand still? And he says, no. Okay, now go fight with the child. So he doesn't see it. And in his mind, he's all upset when I say no. But my responsibility is to see what he doesn't see. And not because I love him less, but because I love him more. And if in life we see things changing in our life, sometimes we go up so that we can go up some more. And sometimes we go down so that through that we can go up again. That's in our life. But in the menorah, Hashem says, Leha'alot ner tamid. Beha'alotcha et anerot. The menorah constantly represents the light going up. There's no change in that. If the menorah is going to represent Hashem's love of us, then the menorah is a constant light. And the menorah is constantly, the light is pointing upward. And there's never this concept that we encounter in our lives that you have to go down in order to climb back up again. In our lives, we sometimes go up in order to go up, and we sometimes have to go down in order to go up. But in the menorah, it's only up. And that's the praise of Aaron, that Aaron kept the menorah constant, that there was never a wavering in the service of the menorah. The menorah always represented that. The menorah always represented that greatness of upward connection to the Ribbon Shalom. And that's the menorah. Moshe says, I can't build a vessel that represents that great love. But Aaron can light a vessel that represents that great love. That's what Chazal were complimenting when they said, Aaron didn't waver, he didn't change a thing from the way he was supposed to light the menorah. So that's point one in Rav Chalap.
What would there have been to change that?
I have no idea. I don't know. That's already a Kabbalistic concept. What's the idea that Aaron could have changed? I don't know. Okay, the next concept is it's a beautiful and powerful concept. Rav Chalap says we have to see beyond the surface. We have to know what's going on deep down inside. And deep down inside, Am Yisrael's connection to Hashem, Am Yisrael's real connection to Hashem, stems from that extraordinary love that we can't even wrap our heads around. And on that deep level of who we are, nothing's ever missing. And whenever you see that we stumble and we fall, all of our history, what's been and what's going to be, to the point until we reach the temple the way it should be, they are not a stumbling at the root of who we are. They're external stumblings. And Rav Chalap takes it even further and he says, it's because we have a tremendous yearning for the essence of that holiness of Hashem. And when we feel like we can't get it, it's like a fire that you can't come close to, so then we want to figure out other ways of coming close to that. And I'll give a few examples. I always thought that one of the great things we see in the world today is the liberal movement. I think they're making mistakes. But I think many of their leaders are corrupt and evil. But I think the average person who is a liberal is a person who really wants to do good. It's people who have tremendous desire to do good to the world, to do good to other people, to be wonderful and positive people. They might be misguided. They might have misinformation. They might do actions which ultimately hurt many people, even the people they're trying to help. That could all be true. But what's driving them? You have people who are evil. I'm not denying that. You have people who are evil and they use the liberal terminology and they use the liberal flag to cover up for evil actions. I'm not contesting that.
We were talking about it yesterday a little bit. And the percentage of Jews among them is unbelievably out of proportion.
Yeah. Rav Chalap says there's a drive to connect. There's a drive that says, I want what's holy. And I'm not sure how to get there. And it stems from a very, very positive desire to connect to that which is positive. I was talking to someone who said to me, you're young and idealistic. I said, really? And you're old and idealistic. So they said to me, why am I old and idealistic? I just live my life. I said, no, it's not true. Your sister-in-law was sick 2-3 years ago, and you left your husband, and you flew out to bring up her kids for a year and a half. You and your husband lived separate lives to help the family so that your sister-in-law can undergo treatment. You flew across the continent, and you spent a year and a half there. That's not idealistic. I don't know what is. You and your husband were willing to lead separate lives for a year and a half to help someone else. That's not idealistic. So their point was, you're learning Torah and you're teaching Torah. You're idealistic. I said, you're also idealistic. What do you mean I'm idealistic? Why would you do the things you did? You did tremendous sacrifice to help another human being. Not your sister, your sister-in-law. Why'd you do it? Because you're also idealistic. So people don't always term it that way. This person said to me, now when I die, don't let them put on my tombstone that I was a tzaddikus. I hate that word. I said, yeah, you hate that word because you imagine it to be something that's different than all the values you've lived for. But it's no different than what you've lived for. When you think about it, you're not willing to use religious terms, but in reality, the life you've led is no different than that. So people don't want to hear that. Don't stick religion into this. But it's not true. There's a tremendous drive in people to connect to that which is holy and good. And Rav Chalap says, our drive stems from Hashem's tremendous love of us. And there's an underlying connection to that concept that every Jew has. And if we want an example of that, children who grow up in a healthy, loving home, even when they say all kinds of things and do all kinds of things, deep down inside, they're connected and they know you're connected to them. So a child can say a line, I hate you. I hate that I grew up in this house. This is the most terrible house. And deep down inside, he's... I remember when I was a teenager, one time my father said to me, you don't like it, you can get up and leave. And I got up from the table and I ran out of the house. And I remember thinking as I was running, I sure hope he's running after me. you have that, and my father was a second later I hear, get back in the house. And I was very thankful for that, get back in the house, right? So back to our to Rav Chalap. So Rav Chalap says, when we stumble, it's not at the root, it's not at the essence of our connection, it's because there's a deep yearning for that holiness. And by the way, this is a concept that Rav Chalap, I assume, got from Rav Kook. This is a recurring theme in Rav Kook Zatzal's work, that they met deep down inside. There's that yearning that a person feels like, I don't know how to connect to something so holy, to the fire. And I'm looking for ways, my own system, my own path. Rav Chalap is saying it kindly. I would say it a bit more cruelly. I would say that there's the path of Hashem to connect to Him. And when a person isn't willing to go on that path, so he looks for other paths, and that's very dangerous. And Rav Chalap is pointing out the positive. He's saying, but you should know, deep down inside, it stems from a good place. And I will be the misnaged who points out the negative and say, yeah, and Am Yisrael did the golden calf and murdered Chur and did some pretty heinous activities in their desire to connect to Hashem, not using Hashem's path. Rav Chalap is saying, but bear in mind, but it was all from a desire of how do I connect to Hashem. I'm just saying, don't take that concept to the wrong places. Rav Chalap isn't saying it's right. Rav Chalap is saying at the core, there's something very right and pure.
They didn't want to sever the connection before.
They wanted to create the connection.
They
were looking for a connection. I'm just saying it's a dangerous concept, what Rav Chalap is saying. It does not give us the license to say, so I can go other routes. What he's saying is when you see that Am Yisrael falls and makes the wrong moves, you should know that that's also from a positive place. That's also from a desire to connect.
And when you go other routes, you may not come back.
And you may do terrible things. The people of Israel murdered Chur.
The motivation is not to sever the connection.
But his point is, at the root there's something very right. At the root there's something very pure.
Sure.
There's something beautiful and holy and a desire to connect to holiness. I'm just saying this does not excuse inappropriate behavior. It just gives us a positive perspective on the people who behave inappropriately. A very important positive perspective. Yes?
Do we take this idea throughout the sins of the Jewish people throughout history?
Yes. This concept, he's saying, is for all of Jewish history and all of the Jewish future. He said that.
How is that applied?
Think about it. Think. Right. It's a concept of all of Jewish history. Well, again, 1 second.
Who joins peace now in America? Who's this dead? Evil people? Definitely not. They may be some, but definitely not.
Rabbi, this concept is also related to the thing that whatever a person wants to be led, they lead him, right?
So he's saying, people's goal is to grow step by step. And that's what the people say to Moshe after Matan Torah. They say, you talk to us, we'll listen, but Hashem can't talk to us directly, we may die. What are they saying? V'nishma, you talk to us and we'll listen. They had said, Nase v'nishma. What they said is, we're very far from the greatness of Hashem. We can't grasp it all at once. And so, we desire, then we think, then we synthesize, then we decide how we're going to action. With the Ribon Shel Olam, everything comes at once. The desire, the thought, the action, the processing, everything is a one-shot deal. The Ribon Shel Olam gives us the Ten Commandments. It's now. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. This is what I say, this is what I decree, this is the way it should be. The people tell Moshe, we need to grow into this. Tell us the commandment slowly. We'll think about it. We'll digest it. We said we will perform, but we said it as a two-step process. Naseh v'nishma. We need to be able to hear, synthesize, process, and do. We say we'll do, but give us the chance to do it. And the Ribon Shel Olam is telling us now, here, Ten Commandments, do. Everything all at once. Talk to us, Moshe. We can't hear Hashem like that right now, everything all at once. Hashem gives us the Torah, and at one shot he says, Zachor and Shamor. I want you to remember Shabbos. I want you to watch over Shabbos. Zachor is the desire. I remember Shabbos. I want to honor Shabbos. Zachor is the desire. And right away, together with that thought, you imagine what you're going to do in preparation for Shabbos. But Zachor was beyond our capacity. Desire, and right away go from the desire to the active thought of how to fulfill that desire. We make it in stages. I remember Shabbos. When I remember Shabbos, I think about how that memory will affect my day, my week, my preparation for Shabbos. We work in stages. And right away, Hashem says, together with that in unison, in one declaration, in one breath, Shamo. That Hashem says, I'm giving you that ability that you'll be able to accept that revelation of everything at once, and it won't harm you. You will be able to do it. And that was one of the miracles when Hashem gave us Ma'amad al Sinai. On the one end, Hashem is awesome beyond any might that we can understand. On the other hand, He talks to us and we can hear it. It doesn't sound human. That's the idea that we say, that prophecy, if we wouldn't have proof to prophecy, it doesn't sound logical that God connects to human. God is infinite, and what is a mere mortal? And here Hashem speaks to all of us, and He's telling us His commandment. Well, His commandment is far beyond our perception, and yet He's talking and giving us the ability to hear Him. That's not something that we would think is natural. That's what the Rashba writes. This is one of the miracles of the Torah. The idea that people all attain prophecy. And our human here can't hear two commandments at one time. When a person says two words, Zachor and Shamor, simultaneously, either you don't hear both. If both are being yelled at the same time, you hear Mishka Bamo. But Hashem says, I'm telling you both, and you'll be able to absorb both. It's not natural, it's not human. And even though, in our perspective, as we discussed, a human being thinks and synthesizes and decides and then acts, it's a multiple step procedure, Hashem says, you'll be able to do it. When I tell you, you'll be able to do what you wouldn't ordinarily be able to do. And Am Yisrael wanted to be there, but they felt like they couldn't be there. And that's what Chazal say on the Pasuk, Nafshi Yatze'ah V'dabro, in Shir HaShirim, that every commandment Hashem gave, we dropped dead. It says, with every commandment, they felt it was beyond their ability. Boom. And every time Hashem gave us Kita Lorot Talecha, Hashem gave us the dew of life and brought us back. And Moshe Rabbeinu called us back to the mountain, and we got another commandment, and the same thing happened. It says, Am Yisrael took a leap backwards, dropped dead, and then the angels, or Moshe Rabbeinu, brought him back, and they were brought back to life. So Am Yisrael tells Moshe, after the commandments, they say, we can't handle this. Chazal tell us that the Ten Commandments were given in two forms. Hashem first said all ten in one split second, and then each one. And that's something that the human ear can't handle. It's not the human ear, but the human concepts can't handle. And so Am Yisrael turns to Moshe and says, we can't handle this. Look at us. We died and came back, died and came back, died and came back. We can't do this. Meaning, Hashem says, I'm going to give you the ability, and Am Yisrael says, we're not ready for that. So, if Hashem is giving us the ability that at the same moment we think, decide, act, all of them come in unison, there's no room for the Yetzer Hara. When Am Yisrael says, we can't handle that, what's really happening is Am Yisrael saying, we need a system of decision, of action, which also leaves room for decision the other way, leaves room for Yetzer Hara. And Am Yisrael says, right, we will have to deal with the Yetzer Hara, because that is what will allow us to grow gradually to connecting to Hashem.
Saying that without it being part of this system, there's no way to grasp it, because that is it's not our biological or and spiritual makeup in order to, you know, to receive, you know, Torah the way that Hashem wants to give it, you know, constantly, hold on, constantly and immediately, like all at once. So therefore, you know, they're requesting, you know, give it to us in a system that's compatible with us,
right?
Which also is going to include the element of having Yetzer Hara and digression and Yiridot, but ultimately that's the only system that's going to be that's the only system that's going to be compatible with the makeup of the Jewish people.
Allow us to grow.
So they thought, though.
But Hashem agrees. Hashem says, "Hey, Tivu Kol Asher Diberu." They spoke well, but Hashem says, "Miten Vayal Vavam Zeliirauti," and now I wish them good luck to be God-fearing people.
Well, originally, you got to say, originally, you thought we could handle more, or you expected the response that we gave, which was like expecting Abraham to plead for stone. You know, he never meant to. You know, in other words, Hashem knows what's best for us. He wouldn't have given to us one way if it was bad for us, unless he felt either one of two things. We would reject it and insist on it being our way, where we can handle it, or we just weren't up to it.
It could be many things. It could be also sometimes when you reveal to a person a different way of life, you expose them to where they could and should get to. Sometimes that the idea that Hashem first gives us the Ten Commandments in a way that's godly and not humanly, and our insistence in order for us to build up, let us do it in our system. So Hashem says, fine, you have that responsibility. Yeah. But that experience, it says, it imbued within us, it changed us.
It's good. It's good proof, because we had the experience in Yamsuf before that, where we didn't even have a choice. It was just sort of a hardwire something into us.
But you see, they didn't have a problem with Yamsuf.
Right.
When they all got prophetic vision of Yamsuf, they were okay with it.
Temporary, one shot. Didn't change it an hour later, I don't think. They just had something tied in, so you broke, I'll be okay. Like that.
But this was going to change them. Ma'amad al Sinai, it says, made a permanent mark on the soul of every Jew. So that revelation changed us.
That's much harder to live with, because I think you can't be the same person afterwards. Whereby,
right,
you know, the other one, you kind of, even though you know something, but you were essentially the same, I think. I hear what you're saying. My God is more powerful in that sense.
Rav Chalap says this worked, meaning this request of Am Yisrael, let us grow gradually as humans, it worked, but it's become a constant. It's our way of growth. Ever since Hashem created the world, Hashem placed Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam was scared of looking at Hashem. Adam sensed that if he connects too greatly, so then that light, he won't exist. His own existence will be enveloped by the Ribon Shel Olam. And so Adam wants to take a step back, so that he can perceive and take a step closer. And that's the root of where Adam stumbles with the forbidden fruit. Adam says, by taking a step away, I can take a step back. And Adam's mistake was that Hashem said, don't eat it. Adam thought, I need to have my identity to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's there's a tremendous component here where in order to grow, a person sometimes feels like I have to have that capital I that is serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. Within one's growth, Moshe Rabbeinu can reach a point where V'nachnu Ma, what do you want from me? Who am I? What am I? Moshe Rabbeinu can be Shechina Medaberet Mitoch Gono, God's talking through his throat. It's not me talking. What do you want from me? I didn't say anything, Moshe Rabbeinu says. What do you mean? You said Aaron should be the boss. No, I didn't. God said it. Moshe Rabbeinu says, when the Jewish people come complaining in Korach, in a few weeks we'll read it, Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's your complaint to me? So Korach says, you said it. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I didn't say, God said it. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I didn't say anything that was me. I don't exist here. I'm not a function here. Who am I? But there also exists a concept where man wants to have his identity. It is me serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. Am I an extension of the Ribbono Shel Olam, or am I serving the Ribbono Shel Olam? So Adam wants to take a step back in order to constantly be able to serve. And his mistake was that his step back was a direct contradiction. He was directly transgressing the commandment of Hashem. Hashem said, don't eat that fruit. Chazal say, Aisha natinali min ha'etz va'ochel. Adam said, the woman gave me to eat from the fruit, and I will eat. Va'ochel, Chazal say, Adam said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I ate, and I'll keep eating. What does that mean? So Chazal say, Rav Chalap says, it wasn't from chutzpah. It was the idea that he says, by doing this, I see myself as having an identity. I have an identity. I can serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, if you think about it for a second, this is what every teenager does. Right? Teenagers have to rebel. If I do what you said, if I do what you do, then I don't feel like I exist. I only exist if I do different. You have to think about it when you bring up your kids, whether you want them to rebel and think they're more pious than you, or rebel and think they're less pious than you. But they have to rebel. You have to give them that room to rebel. It's good if their rebellion is, as someone once said to my father, it's better if your kids feel like they can't eat in your house than if you feel you can't eat in their house. So the kids decide they're more pious than you, and you eat this extra, they're not going to eat anymore. But where's it all coming from? They have to have their identity. So I'm belittling it. Adam Rishon is much bigger than the description I'm giving. But on some level, Rav Chalap is saying Adam Rishon takes a step back because he says only if I take a step back do I feel like I exist that I can take a step forward. Adam Rishon feels he's so close to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he doesn't see his own existence. And when we reached Har Sinai, we weren't content with telling Moshe, you speak and we'll listen. But rather we find in our parsha that the second we could leave our Sinai, we ran. Chazal say it's like a child running away from school. Why? What were we running from? We wanted our identity. It's me serving Hashem. When I'm at Sinai, we constantly heard the echoes of Sinai. We didn't feel like our identity existed.
It felt null.
Right. We wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael. And the light of Israel is amazing. The angels, it says, can only accept Ol Malchut Shamayim in accordance with what's revealed, the revelation that comes from Shamayim. But the angels only say Kadosh Kadosh when Melochol Haaretz Kivodo, when the land of Israel is filled with Hashem's honor. That means that the revelation of Hashem's honor in Eretz Yisrael, when Am Yisrael is here, so that's, Chazal say, the angels reflect us. When we give Kedusha, so then they give Kedusha. They wait for us. Am Yisrael has to make a declaration, Kadosh, 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 and then the angels in heaven can say, Melo Chol Haaretz Kivodo. Your honor, well, Chol Haaretz is Eretz Yisrael. And when Hashem's honor is revealed here, So then le'umatam mishabechim ve'omrim, corresponding to that, they make their declaration in heaven, bo'ch kvod Hashem in komo. That's the second declaration. The first declaration is down below. Melocho la'aretz kivudo. So there's this idea, this is the Hasidic concept, that Hashem created a world. Hashem said, I want them to sanctify my name down there. We're way over time. I didn't realize we're going to have to stop here. Okay, we're halfway there.